Good afternoon. It's Larry Eiler here again with Innovative Business Results, and this is the program with Rob Pasek of the University of Michigan, a business coach and executive coach, and myself, a businessman in Ann Arbor, and we're talking about good things that are going on across Michigan. We've interviewed 30 or 35 company executives so far since this program began the first of the year. And now, today, I'm lucky to have Matt Rausch, the editor of the Great Lakes Information Technology Report and a longtime technology and business reporter for Crain's Detroit Business and WWJ Radio. So welcome, Matt, and we're going to have a little discussion about where you see Michigan going in terms of technology.
Well, thanks for having me here, Larry. I appreciate the opportunity.
And Matt is about to embark on his third or fourth annual tour of the state to see what really is going on out there in all the different major parts of the state. And so he's come to Ann Arbor today to talk to a number of companies and things like that. And we've been able to hook him up with people at the Spark organization and some CEOs of companies and U of M Tech Transfer and things like that. But Matt, you and I have been talking about the state of technology in Michigan for several years over a variety of clients that my firm serves, which is emerging technology or life sciences companies. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit today about your perspective on what's gone on, let's say, in the last 5 or 6 years in Michigan to help us move to the new economy or to the new kind of things that the 21st Century Jobs Fund of the Economic Development Department of the state and the state of Michigan are promoting. What's different today than what Michigan was, say, 6 years ago?
I think that there's a greater sense of urgency today, that this is definitely the direction we need to be moving in because of what's happening in the automotive industry right now. I mean, it's easy to be somewhat apocalyptic in Michigan these days because of what's happening in the auto industry.
Yeah, and we read that in the national press all the time, although the other day USA Today had a great positive article on what's going on in Michigan and the way we are adapting to what needs to be done.
Well, sure. And I mean, the future of Michigan's economy is in the very areas that the state government has been chasing economic development-wise for, gosh, 20 years now through three or four different administrations, mm-hmm. Republican and Democrat. Information technology services, it is software, it is the life sciences, it is nanotechnology, it is advanced manufacturing, and it is being the brain of the automotive industry rather than the bicep of the automotive industry, and it is not necessarily maybe with the domestic automakers, as we've seen here in Ann Arbor, with the expansion of the Toyota Tech Center and a brand new, huge, beautiful tech center for Hyundai and Kia. Those are high-tech jobs. They're not traditional Detroit jobs, though.
And the Toyota Tech Center, we had Bruce Brownlee from there on the program a month or so ago. They have about 675 employees doing R&D work at that tech center, and when the new deal for the new buildings and things is approved, they hope later this year, then it's going to mean more jobs. And this is the core of some of the economy that's being driven now, and Spark is getting involved in this, the Economic Development Group. But there's a core of R&D companies here, as you point out, that really kind of differentiates the Ann Arbor area from lots of other places in the state.
And the other thing, frankly, that I've seen that's been a change is the fact that the universities here have gotten much more serious about technology transfer, and they've gotten, frankly, much better at it. Ken Nisbet at the University of Michigan, his counterpart, Mr. Reinhardt at Wayne State, and the folks at Michigan State, and the folks at some of the smaller universities. Brent Case is doing a terrific job at Central Michigan. They've got world-class dendrimer research up there that's in their tech park in Mount Pleasant that's actually tied in with the folks at Dow Chemical and Dow Corning in Midland. And there's some very interesting spin-off companies there that are dealing with dendrimers, which are these essentially plastic molecules, polymer molecules, that have the physical property of arranging themselves in a sphere. And you can use that property to target drug delivery or to give clothing or fluids or paints or coatings particular properties that you want it to have. Mm-hmm. You know, there's stuff like that that's coming out of university research these days, a much more serious effort at commercialization by the universities that, frankly, wasn't there at all 10 years ago and wasn't as developed as it is now 5 years ago.
Yeah. And I've noticed that particularly being in Ann Arbor with the University of Michigan and tech transfer and Ken Nesbitt, whom we both know well, and he has a great staff of people who are out there licensing technologies and doing things. But I'm interested in covering things all around the state, as you are, and so it's good to hear about something that, of that nature that's going on at Central, because I think the thing that we need to have here is some success stories of how things have been developed in R&D, but are now getting application in different manufacturing or other programs.
Yeah. Well, if you want to go even farther north than that, one of the places I'm going on the tech tour, in fact, I'll be driving up there a week from today at this very moment, is Michigan Technological University way up in Hoboken, which is actually, I think, farther from here than Washington, D.C. is, if you go by highway miles. Yeah. So it's a 10 or 11 hour drive. And but they have a wildly successful university tech transfer office. They like to talk about per $1 million of research, how many spinoff companies and how many spinoff jobs you get at Michigan universities. Mm-hmm. And they are ahead of everybody in the state. If you look at the product of, you know, their research spending at Michigan Tech per, you know, per $1 million of research spending, they have a much smaller research budget, obviously, than U of M or Wayne State. But they have created 40-some companies up there in the last 5 years.
Really?
You know, people go up there and they either love it or they hate it, right? And, and if they love being up there in the real North Woods, they don't ever want to leave. You know, they when they graduate, they want to be able to stay up there.
I know we go fishing in Alaska sometimes, and when you go there, you want to go in June or July because it's the only time it's warm enough. But people in Alaska, they go there and they swear by it. So it's the same type.
It's the same kind of thing in Houghton. And I mean, it is. It's a neat lifestyle. The housing is really cheap. It's the kind of place where you go into a restaurant with somebody and they just shut their car door. They don't even bother to lock it.
Yeah.
People don't lock their houses. I mean, it's a really interesting lifestyle.
Great stuff.
And they've got companies in nanomaterials. They've got companies in, they're actually making printed circuit boards up there because the cost of labor is so low they can compete. And they're also, they have some advanced testing companies up there that, and guess what they do? They test parts in extreme cold conditions because, boy, they got it up there. And,
they test
how stuff performs in, you know, harsh winter weather. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've got some, you know, sort of garden variety IT development, web development shops up there, too, that have spun out of the university and students there. But, I mean, it's really interesting to see what they've done with economic development on a fairly modest scale, but it's big for up there. I mean, 40 companies and 500 or 600 jobs is huge when you're talking a city of 10,000 people.
15,000 people,
yeah.
Matt, what are some of the other things that you've noticed that have changed in this state, either for better or for worse, in terms of the economic development? I think most things have been for the better, as we've discussed before going on air.
Yeah.
But what are some of the other things that have changed in the last 5-6 years?
There's more awareness now. I'm not sure if there is a lot more private equity and venture capital here now, but there's more awareness of the need for it. And it is available for good ideas. There is, you know, there's always going to be some dispute and contention about, you know, do we have enough? And obviously we're not Sand Hill Road or anything like that.
Right.
I mean, good ideas will get funded here. It's just a matter of how and by whom and whether or not there will eventually be pressure on the company to move someplace else, depending on who's doing the funding.
That's right.
But, you know, so that's been, I think, a positive change. You know, I am worried about the sort of the long-term future sometimes of the IT industry, because so much of it is fungible. It's, you know, people doing work on their computers, and those computers can be anywhere. Our challenge is to stay one step ahead of the outsourcers and the offshorers, and figure out industries and figure out things to do that aren't easily transplanted and uprooted and transplantable someplace else.
Or can't be learned by someone
in
a foreign
nation. Yeah, in a big hurry. And yeah. And really what's important about that is education. The statistic I've seen that bums me out the most in the last year is that survey that Nolan Finley, the Detroit News, kept harping on.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yes. That only 28% of Michigan residents in a poll say a college education is essential. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry, it is essential. A bachelor's degree is just the opening bid.
That's
the floor now. I mean, if you want something really interesting, you need post-bachelor's, graduate school type stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it is these days. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Michigan lifestyle, good old Michigan lifestyle, where all you needed was a high school diploma and you could make enough money without a lot of skill to have a nice house and a boat and a trailer and maybe a place up
that's
north.
That's gone the way of the white elephant.
Oh, boy, it sure has.
It's going that
way. I mean, after this generation, it's just not going to be like that anymore, for good or ill. Now, trade agreements can change, tariff agreements can change. I don't think we're going to ever go all the way back to closed markets. The globalization may get tweaked here and there around the edges, but I just think it's kind of politically almost unstoppable these days. I mean, yeah, it'd be great if the jobs that, people have now in China were here, but on the other hand, all the stuff in the stores would cost three times as much, so you got to take the good with the bad.
Matt, do you think we could look at globalization, which is a huge issue, the world is flat, that Thomas Friedman wrote, and the thing that Michigan is suffering from in manufacturing and other industries, do you think we could say Michigan is a leader in adapting to globalization?
We've been forced to be. It's not something we've been able to decide that, we want to be a leader in this. We have been required to be a leader in how do you deal with mm-hmm. this. And we're wrestling with it right now. It's not easy to deal with. Frankly, I get a little concerned sometimes, but people here, I meet so many smart people here doing so many interesting things. That's what I love about my job. I mean, I get to talk to 40 cool companies a week that are doing interesting things, and they're growing. Mm-hmm. Delphi is struggling right now, but I get to talk to the 40 companies that are growing. Mm-hmm. The problem is we're losing jobs by the thousands and replacing them by the tens and hundreds.
Yeah.
And that's an issue for education and also entrepreneurship. And a lot of kids these days, I'm very encouraged by, because they all want to run their own businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They don't want to work for big companies.
Entrepreneurism is really rampant, no question about that. I mean, this book that Bo Burlingham wrote, the Inc. magazine writer, called Small Giants, and there's 14 companies profiled in there, and they're all small companies that are really outstanding in their sphere. And he was on my program here a few months ago.
Yeah.
But those kind of things. But part of that is talent retention.
Yeah.
And we were talking to Mike Finney, who runs the Spark organization that's charging economic development forward in this area of Ann Arbor, and Ken Nesbitt from U of M Tech Transfer, and Dr. Tom Zaitis, who's the CEO of Ensure Technologies, which has a PC security product. We're talking about talent how we need to develop and retain talent here. You got some thoughts on that? We did talk to Dr. Zaitis about it, and he is a Chicago guy, went to Michigan, got his degrees here, and has decided to stay here.
Well, I sort of liked what Ken Nesbitt told us earlier today, that Ken says he recently spoke to a university tech transfer conference at the University of Florida.
Yeah.
And he took a look for his presentation at all the stuff we have going on here in Washtenaw County and with the University of Michigan and with Eastern. And he said he came away more impressed with this region's efforts than he thought they would be.
I think we need to tell people.
We've got a good story to tell here. Yes, there are some parts of this economy that's struggling. On the other hand, there is huge opportunity here in a variety of industries for young people to do interesting work. And one of the side effects of the fact that other sectors are struggling here is that your housing dollar goes a long way here. The public schools are still good. I mean, pretty good here for the most part. The test scores are good in a lot of our communities around here. And I just think once you get them here, you know, the challenge is to get them here once, preferably on a nice spring day like this, and let them look around. They're going to think, hey, you know, I don't need to go to San Francisco and pay $1 million for a shack, or I don't need to go to New York.
I have a home in San Francisco, and it's a condo, and it's maybe a quarter the size of the home I have here.
Yep.
And I can tell you that it's a lot more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand that.
Well, you'll find the same thing in most major metropolitan areas. What I refer to as the urban hassle quotient here in Southeast Michigan is remarkably low.
Urban hassle quotient.
Yeah, you know, the traffic is not that hard to get around. Most areas aren't that high in crime. The property crime won't drive you nuts. The public services are pretty good. You know, you call the police and they come. You call the fire department, they come. They pick up your trash. All of the stuff that, you know, that can break down in a lot of urban areas, it's not as bad here as it is in a lot of other urban areas, but you still get all the advantages of an urban area when you live here.
You do.
You know, you get a world-class symphony and art museums and galleries and performing arts.
Yeah, you get this in a lot of the different cities. And if there's a university associated, as with the University of Michigan and Ann Arbor, it's a great place to be. I mean, my wife and I have raised our seven kids here, and it's a really great place to be.
Okay.
Well, you sound pretty bullish about the future. A lot of bumps along the way.
There's going to be pain.
Not a flat road.
There's going to be pain short term, isn't it? There's no doubt about it. But I have to believe things are going to get better with companies in these industries, because, like I said, I just talk to so many smart people every day that are so fired up about what they do.
Yeah.
And it fires you up when you hang out with them. You know, it sort of rubs off a little bit.
What do you think, what would you say would be the top three steps that you would see as a journalist, given your perspective of business, the top three things that we have to do Michigan statewide to have a different perception in 10 years than we do now, where we're suffering from the malaise of the automotive and the national press, the world press is glomming onto the negatives here. What do we have to do? What are three things or two things we have to do in the next few years to get to a point where in 8 years, 10 years, we can say, boy, remember those days, and now we have a better way?
Well, number one to me is encourage entrepreneurship, and realize that technology, while it also makes it so that you can do a tech job any place, including low wage countries, it also means that you can sell to the whole world if you're here. So it's a two way street, and I would encourage entrepreneurship in knowledge based fields. I mean, it's basically as simple as that. Yeah, there are some things we can do around the edges, public policy wise, as far as tax policy goes, but, you know, basically, startup companies aren't really paying very much in taxes anyway, even under the current system.
They don't have any money to pay.
So
revenue.
Right. Yeah, they don't have a lot of value add for the single business tax to knock you out with, and there's exemptions for smaller businesses anyway. So, you know, I mean, I would just say get the education right, get the entrepreneurship right, and I think good things will happen.
Good. Well, it's been a very fun 15 or 20 minutes talking to you. I always like to keep up to speed, because I know you got your fingers out there and you're talking to lots of people around the state, and that's what this program's all about. It's Innovations with Eiler and Pasek. Rob Pasek happens to be in London this week doing some executive coaching, and he'll be back next week to interview the next guest on the program. If you want to check the program out, it's called innovativebusinessresults.com is the website, and you can go to the podcast bell on there and just hear all these different shows.
And do you mind if I give a commercial here?
Not at all.
Okay.
Please do.
Well, WWJ News Radio 950 is the publisher of the Great Lakes IT Report.
Right.
That website is WWJ.com. We are also on May 5th, I believe, is a scheduled date at this point, launching a new and vastly improved Great Lakes IT Report website, which will actually have a searchable back issue archive, which we're pretty excited about.
Yeah, you need that. I need that sometimes.
And that's we've bought both glitr.com and greatlakesitreport.com. Mm-hmm. So either of those two addresses will get you there, and I encourage you to sign up for the newsletter.
Well, we certainly are glad to hear about that, but you've done a great job in reporting technology in other publications, but the last 4.5 years with this thing that you have started with Glitter, it's really looked for by all executives I know every morning and comes push fresh to your desk, and it's great. So Matt Rausch of Glitter, WWJ, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and I appreciate your taking the time.
Thanks, Larry.
Okay.